We've known for years now about the destruction of forest land to make room for other kinds of land use. It's happened in our own region. But the eyes of the planet tend to focus on places like the Brazilian rainforest, where tens of thousands of acres cease to be forest apparently every day. Many people and organizations are dedicated to slowing that process. Recent research indicates the slowing may not be happening. The research is published in Science in the September 14th issue. Five researchers get author credit, including our guest. Christy M. Slay is on the staff at the University of Arkansas and the Director of Technical Alignment at the Sustainability Consortium there. Christy Slay, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Would you first outline what the Sustainability Consortium is all about? The name seems self-explanatory, but I just want to make sure we understand what it does.
Sure. We are an academic organization that's based across two universities. So we're actually co-managed between the University of Arkansas and Arizona State University. And we work with companies, both food companies, clothing companies, companies that produce home and personal care goods, and forestry companies that produce our paper goods. We work with those companies as well as environmental and social organizations, and as well as other academic institutions to create a platform with which to communicate the sustainability of the products that we consume every day. And so retailers such as Walmart, Sam's Club, Walgreens, and others use our platform to help understand the sustainability of the products that they provide on their shelves.
So if you are the Director of Technical Alignment, it sounds like you're in charge of making sure that everything is at least measured correctly.
I am. And so me and other colleagues as well work really hard to make sure that the best science available is brought forward and sort of translated into tools that businesses can easily understand and utilize to make better decisions.
I imagine there are some surprises that come with the process, Christy, where a company thinks it's doing good and doing well in sustainability realms, but then you can show the numbers and go, well, here's where you're falling down.
Yes, that is the case sometimes, and certainly this is a new process, and so bringing kind of a standard way of year-over-year reporting to product sustainability is new. And so there's been corporate level reporting for many years around greenhouse gas emissions and water use and land use. But this is the first time that we've had a standard global system for reporting product level sustainability. And so certainly in the beginning years, we've had our questions sort of launched within the retail world for about 4 years. And certainly in the beginning, you know, it was hard to get that information, and sometimes companies, it's just a matter of finding the information. It may not be that they don't have it. It may just be that they've got to create new mechanisms to get that information from either from their colleagues or from deeper in the supply chain. And other times, companies are just starting on that journey, and so we get kind of a broad spectrum of performance along the way.
So lots of things clearly to measure, and that leads us to the recently published research. What were you seeking to measure there?
Sure. So this research is a little different from what we've done. We have our platform, but this research really was driven by the need to understand where forest products might be coming from or be sourced from. It's very easy, or I wouldn't say easy, but it's easier to understand where food is grown, and so we had created a tool to help our businesses and member companies understand where they were sourcing agricultural products around the world if they didn't know. So often commodity markets are very opaque. It's not easy to know exactly where a commodity is coming from, and so we had that information in our tool, but one thing that we were struggling with was how do we know where trees are sourced from for packaging or for paper products or for wood products? And so that was really the driving factor behind the research that we did.
And at the outset, what did you find? What's the basic picture that you that emerged?
Sure. So in our research, what we wanted to do was take a really high-resolution, great data set on forest cover loss around the world and classify it into, well, what are the causes of that forest loss? What are the key drivers? And so in order to do that, we came up with a novel method for identifying sort of those key drivers on the landscape that are causing either temporary or permanent forest loss or potentially causing a degradation of forests, even if they do come back.
We're talking to Christy Slay, who is the Director of Technical Alignment, that's the Sustainability Consortium, and one of five authors of a recent work published in Science about classifying drivers of global forest loss. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about deforestation around the planet and the apparent high rate that continues. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you have lots and lots of people and organizations and governments focused on reducing the loss of forest to other forms and functions, and what are you looking at in terms of the rate that you see in your research, Christy?
Sure. So there have been lots of commitments around the world from I would say the world's leading companies to try to end deforestation. And so there's been two major commitments that have been made: the New York Declaration on Forests, which is a UN-driven effort to really raise awareness and get commitments by companies to end deforestation. As well as the Consumer Goods Forum, which is a group of the world's leading companies who came together and made an agreement to end deforestation by 2020. And so the work that we've done was able to really measure and see how we're doing. Are we on track to end deforestation by 2020? And maybe the first clarification is what is meant by deforestation, because there's a lot of confusion around that term. And for the purposes of our work, we defined deforestation as forest loss that was completely converted, where the land was completely converted to a different type of land use, such as agriculture. And those forests, once that conversion happens, they don't come back. And so that is what we would consider more of a permanent forest loss, in addition to urbanization, so expanding cities or new cities. Expanding around the world, those are permanent conversion events where you won't have a forest again. And so those are the ones that companies are working on and that the world is really concerned about, because once those losses happen, then they're permanent. And so what we found was that though many companies are working hard to try to end deforestation and understand their supply chains, we're not seeing the rate of deforestation slow down. And so what we did find was that it has shifted. And so it shifted out of Brazil and into Southeast Asia, into countries like Indonesia, Malaysia, for palm oil production.
So Brazil is having some success in at least slowing the rate, but it sounds like other parts of the world are picking up the slack.
That's right. So Brazil still has quite a bit of deforestation, but the rate has slowed. Between 2004 and 2009, we saw deforestation decrease every year, according to our study, and then it's remained constant every year since then, at a rate of 1 to about 2 million hectares per year. And so, so over that last time period since 2009, it's been steady, and it's still, when you think about how many acres that is, it's a lot. And so they still are working hard, I know, to try to reduce that. But there's always issues when there's a financial benefit to be gained by harvesting the trees.
One figure I saw this morning indicated that it could be as many as 80,000 acres of forest lost each day. Is that a figure that you're familiar with?
I'm not familiar with that figure, but that sounds about right, if I can do the math in my head real quick.
Oh, you have to convert from hectares to acres?
Right. Or from annual to daily.
Oh, okay, sure. Does it seem, so 80,000 sounds about right, you say?
Yes.
Okay. So interesting sidelight here, and that is the data sources here, because there is one system that is set up and acknowledged to be very good at tracking tree cover, but you didn't use that system. You used a different one. Is that right?
We actually took that system that you describe, and we basically added some additional data and models to be able to classify that information. So we were able to take a global map of forest loss and classify it into deforestation for commodities, forestry, shifting agriculture, which most people probably identify with slash and burn agriculture, is a term that's often used. So it's sort of small-scale subsistence farming, and then oftentimes that land's abandoned pretty quickly after the crops are grown, or maybe the soils aren't good for agriculture, and so that land is abandoned. We also classified urbanization, as I mentioned before, and wildfire. And wildfire really surprised us. There is way more wildfire than we had anticipated. And so almost a quarter of the world's forest loss is due to wildfire.
Wow, that's a bunch. But it, does that land stay forest, though, after it's been burned?
According to our model, it does return to forest in most cases. It just depends on the timing, of course, and so we don't have a full picture of certainly recently burned forests, what's going to happen to that landscape. But what we try to do in our model is to correct for any type of sort of human intentionally caused fires that would be fires that were used to clear land for some other purpose. If that was the case, then those lands ended up in the commodity-driven deforestation class. So the wildfire class is really focused on natural. There may be some human-caused fires certainly included in that. But then those areas do show signs that they do regenerate over time.
We are talking about forest loss around the world. As you're hearing, Brazil's rate of deforestation has slowed, but Southeast Asia appears to be picking it up. So there's a net no change, really, in the perceptions of Christy Slay and their co-authors of recent research. She's the Director of Technical Alignment at the Sustainability Consortium. She's based at the University of Arkansas. You can join the discussion at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I was looking at the map, and there's lots of green on the map indicating that forestry is the driver of tree loss. Does it simply mean active management with, again, the forest intended to stay forest?
Yes, that's correct. And so there is a lot of forestry activity around the world. So, again, about a quarter of what we would see as forest loss in the last 15 years of the study that we did. Would indicate that it's forest management and forestry activities. And so that might include plantation harvests where land has already been planted in trees for harvest, or what you would consider a more natural harvest of harvesting of natural forests.
So for the rest, though, is it as simple, Christy, that people are just simply able to make more money per acre, more money per hectare when the land is not forest?
That's a really good question, and it would appear, with this much forest loss and forest change, that might be the case. Certainly, in some areas where it's certainly financially beneficial to either harvest the forest for paper and wood products, or to convert the forest into agriculture, or to use it, for urban expansion. And so, yeah, I would say, forests have a little bit of a challenge in that regard. There's also a lot of use in and importance in properly managed forests. And so where there are those forestry activities, managing the land in such a way that the forest comes back and is healthy and, in theory, could be harvested again. There's a lot of importance around that too, because there's not you can't grow trees everywhere. There's a good portion of the world that won't ever grow trees, and so the places where trees do grow, it's important to manage those lands appropriately.
How then do you work the incentives if you're trying to get to sustainability and the incentive for people in many parts of the world is, hey, these trees are more value to me sold off this land and I use the land for something else. I mean, people still kill elephants for ivory. So how do you set up mechanisms or markets or incentives to keep trees in forests?
That's such a great question. And again, it depends on the region where you're focused on. But there are, internationally speaking, there's a UN program called RED, R-E-D-D, which is really focused on financing, providing finance to countries to maintain their forests and keep their forests intact. And so those programs have been successful in certain countries where really the financing piece was the biggest issue, you know, as you described, that the incentive to cut the trees was, in the short term, was more profitable than to maintain intact forests. And the RED program has been able to work on the ground and enable financing into those areas where it can really make a difference. Say we still have work to do, but there's a lot of those programs on the ground now. In terms of, you know, in other countries where, you know, let's say the United States, where you might have a plot of land that you can harvest and sell for some quick cash. You know, in those situations, you know, talking to landowners through, you know, local conservation organizations, you know, is can be very effective. And to put that land, you know, there's land trusts all over the nation that are interested in preserving and protecting contiguous forests. And so, you know, there's different strategies in different regions depending on the sort of the driver behind the incentive.
I want to come back to one of the surprises you mentioned, that wildfire really surprised you, that about a quarter of the forest losses is through wildfire. And I didn't ask if that rate has increased over the period of years you looked at.
It's been pretty consistent. And so it's just, and again, it varies by region. So you see a lot of fire in North America, and particularly Canada and Alaska. And you see a lot of fire all across Russia. And so it's really those northern latitudes that experience a lot of wildfire. You also get a lot of wildfire in Australia. And so those rates have been pretty consistent, but I think there's still some question now, you know, with climate change and what is that going to do to our rates of wildfire if we see the frequency of storms increase, if we see temperatures change, you know, what is that going to do to that rate? And ultimately that affects the areas where there's lots of wildfire, there's also lots of forestry. And so certainly will affect the forestry industry potentially if we see that rate increase over time.
All right, much to keep an eye on. And, of course, the one of the bigger findings is it doesn't seem like the rate of deforestation has slowed over the period of your study here. The big study is called Classifying Drivers of Global Forest Loss. It's in Science, dated September 14th. Christy Slay is one of five researchers who helped put it together. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.